The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance. I am happy to be worshiping here with you again. I am sad, though, that when I say "here with you," these words seem to mean something different than they would have back in February. Our notions of presence and togetherness have stretched and shifted. I would much rather be worshiping here in this physical location, with all of you who now hear my words, likewise in the same physical location. I would much rather look into your eyes instead of the camera. I long to take your hands in mine when I greet you. And yet I am profoundly grateful that even in a strange and attenuated sense, I am still worshiping here with you. in a way that includes all of us and protects us from danger. How long has it been now that we have lived in this new and strange reality? 2 months? It seems like forever and like no time at all. I feel that time has lost much of its meaning, and perhaps you feel much the same. The first letter of Peter was written for Christians in a frightening and trying time. The first readers of the letter were enduring persecution, rejection by the society they lived in, alienation from those who did not and would not understand them, estrangement from family and neighbors who did not share their faith. The time that we are living through now is certainly frightening and trying. We may feel alienation and estrangement, if not rejection. We endure uncertainty and anxiety, although for myself and for most of you who hear me, it would not be right to say we endure persecution. But I do not wish to minimize the times we are living through. The day's own trouble is sufficient for the day, and our own troubles are sufficient to trouble us, even if others have endured worse. Social isolation is a threat to individual identity. We are confined to our homes and locked out of the places where we have gone to feel as though we are part of something greater than ourselves. We are accustomed to defining ourselves by our associations. If we cannot go to work, if we cannot go to school, if we cannot go to a ball game or a movie theater, if we cannot gather with our friends, if we cannot go to church, who are we anymore? Peter had an answer. Like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are accustomed to coming to a physical building, built out of physical material, of earth and wood and stone, to see one another, to hear God's word, and to share in fellowship with one another. This is right and proper. This is as it should be. Now that we cannot do this, we miss it and long for it. We anxiously wonder how long we shall be kept from congregating, and eagerly await the day when we will come together again. But we know as Christians that this building is merely one means to an end, and that God can accomplish salvation in us by other means as well. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, is the chief cornerstone of the church. And, to borrow the words of a song I sang many times, sitting on a Sunday school room floor, the church is not a building where people go to pray. It's not made out of sticks and stones. It's not made out of clay. We are the church, the body of our Lord. We are all God's children. We have been restored. The Christ followers of the first century after Jesus' death were shut out of their synagogues. They grieved the destruction of God's temple in Jerusalem, and they suffered ridicule as atheists when they would not approach pagan altars. God made them into living stones and built of them a church that has endured even to this very day. Today, we, believers in Christ, suffer the incomprehension of our neighbors. We grieve the shrinkage and loss of many of our institutions. And now, we must even shut ourselves out of our own houses of worship. We are nevertheless a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are living stones of which God is still, even now, building a church. Thanks be to God. Amen.